You should be very familiar with that song. In 20 years, we've sung it 3 times now. There are not many songs in the hymn book that have to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And since I'm going to be talking about God filling us today, I thought we should sing that song. But good one for us to learn. There are a lot of songs about the Holy Spirit in the hymn book. Unfortunately, they're not all doctrinally correct. That's why we don't sing a lot of them. So we want to be careful that what we sing is truth. And so we're careful when picking out our hymns. I trust that it was meaningful to you as you considered the words. So this past year, we have been studying about God's personal involvement in our lives. And we bring that to a conclusion today. Rejoicing from the Hills is available in the Narthex, and on the front page I give an explanation of what we're going to be studying next year about a biblical worldview. God made the world, and the world has become a mess. And people in the world don't understand the world, don't understand what God intended the world to be, don't understand why we are here, and have not a clue as to where we are going. We're going to be studying about the world this next year, what it is, what it should be, and what's coming. So be in prayer for that study in the next year. But today, we conclude this year's study, God's involvement in our lives, and we're going to be talking about God filling us. This is going to be a true word study. One of the ways you study the Bible is through word studies. You take a word and follow it through Scripture and see all different contexts in which that word is used. So in the first part of the sermon, we're going to talk about other things that can fill our lives that should not, and then we'll talk about God filling us with the things that should fill our lives. Let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this study this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your marvelous person and how you have indwelt us who believe in Jesus Christ. And you are with us, but you do not simply want to be in us. You want also to be active in us. So teach us about that activity today and how we can yield ourselves to you that we might be filled with the right things, and help us to understand what that means and how it can apply to our lives on a daily basis. We look to you for help in this study, and we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word fill, F-I-L-L, can have a couple of different connotations. And in the Bible, we see different connotations of the same word. One of the connotations has a spatial sense to it. For example, this glass has space in it, and we can fill that space. As you see, this glass is filled with water. The space inside the glass is filled with water. And this is basically just a dormant occupying of space. There is a different connotation to the word fill, and it can be illustrated by the sails on a ship. And all through the message this morning, I want you to be thinking about your life as if it were a ship, a sailing ship, not with an engine, but a ship with sails on it. My handkerchief isn't white, but I can illustrate what I mean with this. A sail is just a piece of cloth, right? And it doesn't have space in it like a glass does, correct? But we can say, and they do say, that the wind fills the sails. Now, how does wind fill the sails? Well, I'm not very windy today, but you know, you can blow on the sail. The wind blows on the sail, And this filling is not simply a dormant occupying of space, but this connotation is the matter of effect. The wind has an effect upon the sails that when the wind fills the sails of a ship, it moves the ship. It is this sense in which the word fill is often used in the Bible, that our lives are like a sail on a ship, and these things fill us and move us. Now, there's another thing that we have to think of in regard to this sailing ship and the wind. There are two different kinds of wind. One is called a headwind. The other is a tailwind. A headwind is the wind that blows in the wrong direction as far as where the ship wants to go. The headwind comes against the ship and blows directly in the opposite direction of the course the ship is intended to move. It is opposed to the course of the ship. What we want to look at beginning in this study is some headwinds. Things that blow against the sails of our lives and blow us off course. Off the course that God intends us to take. Headwinds, we'll call them. There are a number of them. We'll consider them briefly as we go. Beginning in Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. Luke chapter 4 and verse 28. It says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Once again, I don't want you to think of a glass that's filled with water, that kind of filling, but think of the sail on a ship being filled, that is, being moved in a particular direction. These people were filled with wrath. Now, the situation here was Jesus was talking to the people in the city of Nazareth, in the synagogue, and he presented himself as the Messiah according to scriptures that he read from the book of Isaiah. And the citizens of Nazareth were so driven by anger that they took Jesus out of the city and onto the top of a hill and were literally going to throw him over the cliff and kill him. This is how they were filled with this wrath. They were moved by the anger that swelled up inside of them. We have to beware of the headwind of anger, because anger can fill us and move us in the wrong direction. Luke chapter 5, verse 26. Luke chapter 5 and verse 26. "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" On the one hand, it sounds like something very positive is happening. They were all amazed and glorified God. And yet, on the other hand, it says they were filled, or wind-driven, this headwind of fear filled their lives. The situation was that a palsied man had been let down through the roof. Remember that event where some friends had brought a palsied man, tore up the roof, let the man down through? Jesus was going to heal the man, but before he healed the man, he said to the man that he forgave his sins. And this was considered to be blasphemy. And this was really disruptive to the hearts of those who were observing. And so they objected. The scribes and Pharisees objected. And Jesus said, "Well, just to show you that I can forgive his sins, I'm going to heal his body." And he healed his body. And the thing of it was, this was such a startling thing that Jesus did in the midst of this group of people that instead of being filled with faith, they were filled with fear. See, not everybody responds to the message of the gospel the way they ought to. Not everybody responds to the idea of God being God the way we do. When we hear about God, we believe and trust. When others hear some of the same things that we hear about God and understand who He is, they are moved with fear. And it became a problem for some of these folks. Luke chapter 6 and verse 11. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. And they were filled with madness. This word madness is an interesting word. It means to lack understanding. The kind of void, being so void of understanding, you so don't get it that you have an adverse reaction to the situation. It's kind of a follow-up to the previous one. But in this case, and it's some of the same folks that are involved, scribes and Pharisees, verse 7 in the text, again. But here's the situation where Jesus healed a man's withered hand on the Sabbath day. And the scribes and Pharisees were so driven by such rage that they didn't get what is going on. They just could not understand how this person, whom they considered to be nothing more than a mere human being, could do such amazing and powerful things that it drove them mad. They were driven by madness. They were filled with madness to the point that, the rest of the verse says, they communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. They could only think of one thing. Their lack of understanding drove them to such a point that they could only think of one thing, and that was to destroy the one they considered to be an enemy. John chapter 16 and verse 6. John chapter 16 and verse 6. In this case, Jesus is dealing with the disciples, and this is just before he's going to be arrested and crucified. This is on the evening of that final Passover that he observed with his disciples. And Jesus said this to them, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." The word sorrow means to suffer some real emotional pain. It's interesting how painful emotions can be sometimes. Jesus was explaining to his disciples in this context how he was going to depart and the Holy Spirit was going to come in his place. In this case, these disciples were confronted with the headwind of sorrow. This was not to be their reaction, and yet their emotions got the best of them. Emotions can be a very adverse headwind if we let our sails be filled with them. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. This is, of course, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the ascension. The church has been started, and the apostles now are the ones who are preaching the gospel. And it says here in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Indignation is an excitement of the mind, a fierceness that rages within and is exhibited primarily in a thing called jealousy. The apostles were having a very positive effect with the preaching of the gospel, and many were hearing, and many were believing. And the high priest and his followers were jealous, and they were their sails were filled with this indignation, driven by a fierceness that would not let them rest until they had suppressed these apostles. Oh, jealousy can be such a strong headwind that moves us in the wrong direction. And then Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. Acts chapter 19 and verse 29, where it says, "And the whole city was filled with confusion." This was the setting in which Paul was preaching in the city of Ephesus. And his preaching had such effect that the people who made idols and sold them for a living were losing massive business. Because so many people were turning to Christ, that meant these people were no longer buying idols, and it was destroying their economy. And so they stirred up the whole city almost to the point of riot. That's the picture that we are given here in verse 29, where the whole city was filled with confusion. You know, we have seen situations like this in our day, just in this last year or last couple of years, where we have seen on the news in different cities around the world, in different countries, where people come out in mass in protest against one thing or another, and there is great confusion in the whole land because people have been stirred up, and it's like a headwind gets against the ship of this nation and just blows, and people are moved with all of this confusion. This is the kind of thing that was happening here in a very negative sense in the city of Ephesus. Then there's Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And then it begins to list all kinds of specific kinds of unrighteousness that people are filled with. Once again, do not think of the glass and the spatial filling. It's not simply that their inner being is being filled up spatially with all of these things. It is that they are being moved, driven like the wind in a sail, in an adverse from a headwind, in an adverse way, filled with unrighteousness. People are moved by unrighteousness, moved in a particular direction in their lives, filled with all unrighteousness. It is an amazing thing to see when people desire to do wrong all of the time. We were talking about this just recently, thinking of Genesis chapter 6. Remember in the days of Noah, when the only thing they ever thought about was only evil continually? And we hope that it's not quite that bad in our day, and yet we wonder, there are more and more people that are simply filled with unrighteousness and are being moved by this headwind in a very adverse direction. There's one more. If you go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, where it says regarding Ananias and Sapphira, remember when they lied? Acts chapter 5 verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? This does not mean that Satan occupied their heart. That's not what it's talking about. Satan did not occupy the space of their heart. Satan blew upon them with a headwind and moved them in the direction of lying and influenced them to do this. So many headwinds. It's a wonder we could ever go in the right direction. And yet God is able to provide what is called a tailwind. That is a wind that comes from behind the ship and fills the sails in such a way that you can steer the ship on course and the way that you want it to go. Let's consider some of the tailwinds that God provides for believers. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, where it says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge. Now, goodness, you're full of that. But knowledge, you're filled with that. In this sense, that you can be moved by the knowledge that you have obtained. Now, this knowledge is not just the knowledge of facts, but the knowledge of truth. As Jesus declared in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Consider Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, where it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. This knowledge, when we are filled with the knowledge of God, that is as a tailwind that will move us in the right direction. As opposed to, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where there are people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, that is a headwind that moves you in the wrong direction, this ever-learning part. But when we are filled with the knowledge of God, when we are filled with the knowledge of truth, the possession of that knowledge, while in a sense we might say it's filling the spaces of our minds and our hearts, in effect, this knowledge of God and the knowledge of the truth is the thing that moves us in the direction of righteousness. There's another part of the knowledge of God that we can be filled with, and that's recorded in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, where it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Not only the knowledge of God, the knowledge of truth in general, but very specifically, we can be filled with the knowledge of his will. That is, moved in the direction of what God wants, because we have the tailwind of the knowledge of God's will. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 explain to us how we can come to a point of understanding what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And with that in our possession, that acts as a tailwind to blow upon the sails of our life and direct us into the very will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. There are so many negative emotions that act as headwinds upon our lives. But one of the things that God makes it possible for us to experience is comfort. This serves as a tailwind, moving us in the right direction so that rather than experiencing fear or sorrow or some other negative emotion like that, we can be perfectly relaxed and confident God is the one who provides the calm, smooth winds that makes for smooth sailing in our lives. In conjunction with the comfort that can fill our sails, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that our sails can also be filled with joy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, joy is not simply an emotion. Psalm 16:11 says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Joy is really what we sense from a consciousness of God's presence. When James tells us in James chapter 1 that we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, how is it possible for us to consider temptations to be a joyful experience? It is in this from Psalm 16:11, knowing that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what experience we're facing, no matter what circumstances, no matter what headwinds may bear upon us, we have the presence of God. And that is the thing that brings joy and rejoicing to our hearts. And with the joy, with the presence of God comes the filling of our sails of this joyfulness that dispels things like fear and sorrow and frustration and all of those other headwinds that can bear against our emotions. In contrast to the headwind of unrighteousness, there is the tailwind of the fruits of righteousness. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Not only can we be filled with righteousness, but righteousness is intended to have certain effects upon our lives, to produce certain fruits, certain benefits in our lives, so that we can be filled and moved, have our sails filled with not simply the sense of what righteousness is, but the effect of righteousness in our lives, so that the fruits of righteousness can fill our lives, so that we can always be thinking right and feeling right and acting right, no matter what the circumstances of our lives may be. And then, in great contrast to the headwind of Satan is the tailwind of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. To be honest, it was my intention to focus on this verse for the whole sermon. And then I got to studying about all of these different passages of Scripture that talk about us being filled. And I thought, it's amazing. God truly fills us with his Spirit, but in doing so fills us with all of these other things as well, and dispels the headwinds that would move us in the wrong direction. So here he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, there's a lot of different verses of Scripture that talk about the apostles and the disciples and the converts in the early church being filled with the Spirit. Satan would love to fill our hearts with a headwind of disobedience. But we have the blessing of having the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is willing at all times, if we will yield to him, if we will turn our sails to him, he will fill our sails and he will move us in the direction of obedience. And here's the truth to hang on to. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan will blow upon you with the headwind of disobedience and try to drive you away from the will of God. But present in your life at all times is the Holy Spirit, whose wind is stronger than that of Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then this one, I thought, just had to be the last one to be the icing on top of the cake. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. To appreciate this, compare this with Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. In reference to Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2, where it says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 9 says, for in him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, we can appreciate that in Jesus Christ would dwell all the fullness of God. All that God is was in Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth. We can appreciate that because, after all, he was not only man, he is God. But in exactly the same sense, we have Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, where the fullness of God is available to us. Not just to be in us, but actually to fill us, that is, to be an influence upon our lives. All the fullness of God will fill our sails and move us in the direction of God's will if we will turn our sails to him. It's an amazing thing. All that God is wants to blow upon our lives as a tailwind to direct us in the paths of righteousness. God doesn't hold anything back from us. There is no restraint in God's involvement in our lives. Everything that God is, he gives the full force of all of that, filling us with the fullness of himself. So that as God is omniscient, he can fill us with his knowledge. As God is omnipotent, he can fill us with his power. And there is no limit to what God can use us to do. There is no restriction in our lives of going in the right direction. Because all of the fullness of God is to bear in the tailwind, blowing our sails, moving our lives in the direction of His glory. Would you go to Acts chapter 27 and verse 14? Paul was on his way to Rome. He was a prisoner. They were on a ship. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 14, he is describing, actually, Luke is describing what happened. Acts chapter 27, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it, that is against the ship, a tempestuous wind. Here's a headwind against the ship. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, they were powerless to do anything. This headwind was so strong, it just moved the ship in a direction, and they just had to let it go. Verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to do to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, and the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, can't imagine what that was like to be on that boat. I mean, they were throwing things overboard to the point that even Paul and Luke, perhaps was with him at this point because he says, our own hands, or unless Luke is only speaking on behalf of Paul, Paul personally involved in throwing things, even part of the ship, throwing it overboard, trying to light the ship so that they could not be overwhelmed and sunk. This is, I don't know how many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls and gotten on that boat that goes up the river right up to the falls. Any of you ever experienced that? Some of you have done that. You know what I'm talking about? When we've done that, in the past, we've tried to imagine what that was, if that was something similar to being on the boat like this. Because, you know, the water coming over the falls just causes that spray, and you get that, you know, you think you're going to sink, and are we going to make it? We're going to get out of here. Can't imagine what kind of stressful situation this was. You understand that lots of times in life, the headwinds of the circumstances of life blow against us so strongly that we question even our own survival because we can't take it. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. In verse 20, it says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And the Apostle Paul says, Sirs, be of good cheer. The wind is still blowing us off course. We don't have anything else we can throw overboard to save ourselves. We are lost, but be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And I thought, this perfectly illustrates how the headwinds of life can blow upon us, and yet we can be unaffected by them. because we can be filled with all the fullness of God, and there is no headwind that can counteract the effect of the fullness of God in our lives. If our sails are filled with the fullness of God, as Paul's was in this situation, while the physical ship was being hammered by this adverse wind, and all of the people on the boat were being confronted with the headwinds of adversity, this one man was sailing into the glory of God, because all of the fullness of God had filled his sails. I don't know what's coming in 2014. The would-be prophets are conflicted about what's coming. I heard one claim that 2014 is going to be a wonderful year for us, and there's going to be a great upsurge in our economy. And I heard another report where someone said, this is going to be the year of the big collapse. Take your pick. We don't know. God knows. But for us, it should not matter. Let a collapse come. Let the headwinds blow. It need not affect our lives in any way whatsoever. God can fill us with his knowledge. He can fill us with the knowledge of his will. He can fill us with the fruits of righteousness. He can fill us with his Holy Spirit. In fact, he can fill us with all of the fullness of himself. And keep our sails so full of himself that no adverse wind can blow us off course. And we can remain filled with comfort and joy and hope and peace because God himself has filled our sails with all that he is. I trust that in this coming year you'll remain optimistic and hopeful. And even if the circumstances of our world become bleak and dismal, and all hope be lost by this world, that we shall be saved. For us who are in Christ, there shall be no diminishing of our comfort and joy, no diminishing of our spiritual energy, because the very power of God himself is filling our sails, and we can move ahead and move forward in hope and in usefulness to our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the ways in which you fill our lives. May we carry this image with us, Lord, as a reminder that each of our lives is like a sailing ship. May all of the things that you provide fill our sails and keep us moving in the right direction, cutting through all of the headwinds which have no effect upon us when we're filled with all the fullness of yourself. Bless these truths to our hearts that we may understand the application of them and see that application fulfilled in all the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.